This is Mike Bernhardt for the Exascale Report. According to Steve Scott, the recently appointed CTO of the Tesla business unit at NVIDIA, Oak Ridge's decision to base Titan on Tesla GPUs underscores the growing belief that GPU-based heterogeneous computing is the best approach to reach exascale computing levels within the next decade. In the first phase of the Titan deployment, which is currently underway, Oak Ridge will upgrade its existing Jaguar supercomputer with 960 Tesla M2090 GPUs based on the NVIDIA Fermi architecture. And these GPUs will serve as companion processors to the multi-core CPUs in Jaguar. And then the second phase, which is expected to begin in 2012, Oak Ridge plans to deploy up to 18,000 Tesla GPUs based on the next generation architecture, which is codenamed Kepler. We spoke with Steve Scott to discuss the role of the GPU in this important milestone system and what this will mean to the user community. Here's that interview. As I look at it today, NVIDIA is a leader in the mobile chip market. Now you're solidifying a position as a leader in the supercomputing market. You have both ends of the system covered quite nicely. I even see that NVIDIA's stock was up 4.4% as of yesterday, and that's a 44% increase above the 52-week low. So the company is in a very strong position right now of exuding confidence. It seems to me that NVIDIA is doing a tremendous job of figuring out a business model that can survive, or maybe we should say surpass, the volatile nature of the HPC segment. Would you care to comment on this a little further?
Well, the business model is key. One of the things that attracted me to NVIDIA is that I believe NVIDIA has the right technology to get to exaflop computing and drive high-performance computing in general because of the explicitly heterogeneous nature that results in greater energy efficiency. But it's coupled with a business model that allows us to support the development. It costs on the order of $1 billion to create each new generation of high-performance processor. And the HPC market simply isn't big enough to justify that development, to support that development. The fact that we have a very high volume graphics market and that we can use the same chips for high-end graphics workloads as we can for HPC allows us to invest in each new generation. And we simply couldn't do what we were doing if we weren't leveraging that large consumer-driven market.
So it's a matter of striking a pretty good balance then in terms of your future R&D investment as well, maintaining both sides of the equation?
Exactly.
Okay. So Steve, you've seen a tremendous amount of new technology during your career, and I'd imagine it's difficult for you to get really excited about new developments when they come along, but you do seem to be very enthusiastic, obviously, about what's going on here with Titan. What do you find most interesting or most exciting about this important milestone on the journey to exascale?
Well, Oak Ridge National Lab is really the world's premier open computing facility. They have a tremendous track record of delivering large-scale systems with their partnership with Cray and delivering science out of those systems. So I'm particularly excited to have this caliber of organization look to the future and make an all-in bet on GPU computing. I think they'll do tremendous things with the system, and I'm looking forward to the many teams of scientists that they will have generating results and moving their codes forward to what I think is going to be the explicitly hybrid multi-core future.
And you've been involved with Titan for what, probably more than 3 years now?
Well, I've been involved with Oak Ridge in my position at Cray for, boy, it must be 6 or 7 years now.
Okay. So specific to this new system, what are some of the trade-offs that had to be considered or maybe still need to be considered when it comes to building such a complicated hardware system, yet still creating a workable user environment?
Well, Cray is really expert at building large usable systems in their custom interconnects and their software stacks. But the NVIDIA component is really figuring out how we're going to move the compute node forward. a new era now where we're completely constrained by power. So power efficiency equals performance. NVIDIA's architecture is explicitly heterogeneous, with the GPUs being designed from the ground up to be energy efficient when running on parallel workloads. So we can really concentrate on the compute node itself, the memory system, and the functional units and memory hierarchy that allow us to deliver more performance at a much lower energy or power than a traditional CPU architecture. And the scalable aspects of the system are really largely being addressed by the Cray interconnect and software stack.
Okay, and obviously, you know, as we've been publishing the Exascale report here for some time now, everybody has hit upon power as the number one obstacle that has to be overcome in order for us to actually ever get to Exascale, which kind of says to me that NVIDIA's got a very long, healthy road in terms of this journey over the rest of this decade. Would you agree?
Yeah, it's hard to overstate the importance of the shift that has happened. Somewhere on the road from teraflop to petaflop, we went through a fundamental transformation of the way that computing technology scales. For the past several decades, we've been able to drop the voltage in proportion to the feature size of our transistors. So every time we have the length of our transistors, we also have the voltage, and we've had this wonderful, magical ride of exponentially increasing compute performance with constant power per processor. And that has simply ended. We can no longer drop the voltage with each new generation in proportion to the feature size, and so we've become power constrained. If you put all the transistors you can now fit on a chip and run them at full speed, the chip will literally burn up. So power efficiency has become the determinant of computing performance, and it's only going to get more so. Every new generation will become exponentially more power constrained. So it's all about reducing the overhead and having a higher fraction of your watts go to doing actual computation, the adds and multiplies and shifts and compares that do the real work. And so there's a tremendous advantage of the explicitly heterogeneous architecture that is represented by GPUs. And so I think it really does point the way to a fundamental shift in the way we do high-performance computing that is going to be very good for NVIDIA over the next decade.
Okay, good. So as CTO of the Tesla business unit, how close are you to, let's say, what the user environment needs to develop into when we start to get into these a 20 petaflop class system? What changes do you see for the users as they transition from Jaguar to Titan?
Actually, I'm not quite sure I understand the question. Can you take another shot at that?
Sure. So I'm trying to get a better handle on what changes you see, you know, from your position of helping to understand from the architecture standpoint to the building and delivery of these of the systems, NVIDIA side of it. What changes you see for the users of the actual systems, the users as they transition from Jaguar to Titan?
Well, users are going to increasingly have to worry about concurrency and parallelism, since all of future performance comes from parallelism, not from clock speed or more complicated processors. They have to start thinking about exposing concurrency, exposing available parallelism in their applications. We'll be moving to a system that's on the order of 100 million processor threads of computation to get to an exaflop. And so they have to be thinking about big problems, and they have to be thinking about the parallelism at the distributed memory level, at the irregular multi-threaded or multi-core level, and at the vector SIMD level in their code simultaneously. So this is going to be a major challenge for users. The other thing that users are going to have to start thinking about sometime before we get to exaflop is more attention paid to resiliency. We'll continue to try to build systems that are inherently as reliable as possible. But a system at that scale is not going to remain up long enough to run a large computation over the period of days or weeks without having some failures. And check clock restart is not going to scale very effectively. So we're going to have to move towards having resilient applications themselves. And this is going to creep in a not yet understood way to the users. There will be some impact to the applications.
Okay, so there's been some, let's say, criticism, fair or accurate or not, in the past, that the GPU environment is a difficult one for people to get a handle on, the programming is hard and so forth. What steps are you putting in place at NVIDIA to, let's say, improve the programmability or the user environment from that respect?
Great question. There's actually been a tremendous amount of innovation over the past several years in the CUDA software environment. CUDA originally made GPUs programmable with a high-level language as opposed to trying to pretend everything was a bunch of triangles you were trying to paint on the screen. And as we've gone from CUDA 1 through 4, about to be 4.1, the number of software tools, libraries, tools that allow you to do debugging and performance tuning have grown in both in number and in sophistication. Right now, one of the things that we're quite interested in is using directives. We think there's a lot of potential for broader adoption of GPU computing by using directives that are very similar to those that you would use for multi-core CPUs that would allow you to expose the parallelism and have the compiler at runtime then map that parallelism onto the underlying hardware. In fact, what we found in the first year or so of looking at directives for GPUs is that when people take the effort to tune their applications to work well with directives, it not only makes the code run faster on GPUs, but it also makes the code run faster on CPUs because you're really making the code better by exposing more parallelism. So I think that a combination of a more robust general CUDA platform, as well as directive support that allows you to have full portability and get at the performance of GPUs simply by putting directives or annotations into your existing code, will more or less eliminate the barriers, real or perceived, of using GPUs from a programmability and portability perspective.
Fantastic. So this might be a tricky question here, but what steps will NVIDIA be putting in place to help ensure that we don't see another situation like we just did with IBM and NCSA and Blue Waters?
Well, that might be more of a question for Cray than for NVIDIA. I was quite surprised that IBM decided to pull the plug on that program. It calls into question, I think, the commitment that large companies can have when they're doing something that's core to their company. At NVIDIA, high-performance computing is core to our company. Massively parallel processors are what we do. They are in our wheelhouse, and there is no chance that we're going to decide that we don't want to continue to push performance per watt and massive parallelism. So when you've got a large company that's doing something that's not directly their core market, I think you may have to worry. But at NVIDIA, building these sorts of processors is our core market, despite the fact that the majority of those processors go into workloads where they're running graphics. They are actually the same processors that are running fluid dynamics or structural analysis or climate models.
Sure. So, going back to the early 90s, I mean, I've seen my share of collaborative engagements in the HPC community. And when we're dealing in something at this level, it just seems vitally important that every one of the partners involved, so you guys, Cray, AMD, the Oak Ridge side and so forth, everybody has to collaborate at a level that's probably a little bit above what we've seen ever in the history of this community in order to get us there. So I'm just trying to look for, are there some new milestones or new engagement level kind of reviews, analysis, audits that are being put in place to make sure that everybody's working in lockstep mode as we move forward?
Well, I don't think it's a matter of specific milestones in delivering the Titan system. We have a daily, weekly, ongoing interaction with Cray and Oak Ridge, for example, porting the applications to be ready for Titan when it powers up, and also working on a variety of issues having to do with the system software interaction with the hardware and other aspects of integration into the system. So Cray and NVIDIA have a very tight relationship. We've got a tight relationship with our other OEM partners as well. And there's no way you can build a system of this scale without that. I think the three-way partnership with Oak Ridge, NVIDIA, and Cray has been fantastic. I was involved in it quite heavily in my capacity at Cray, and continue to see that relationship really work effectively now that I've moved over to NVIDIA.
Awesome. That's very encouraging. So Steve, give us a picture of what you see by this time next year as we're getting ready for Supercomputing 2012. Where will we be with Titan, and what will NVIDIA's role be in the global HPC market at that point?
So I can't comment specifically on the schedule for upgrading the Titan system to Kepler GPU. They'll be doing that next year, during the second half of next year. I imagine there'll be a lot of excitement and activity around the Titan system going in as we prepare for Supercomputing at 2012. I expect that this system is a signpost of where we will see momentum shifting in the high-end HPC market and actually the broader HPC market. If you would have looked at the top 500 list 3 years ago, the June of 2008 list, you would have seen no GPU supercomputers on that list. Now we're in a situation where three out of the top five systems are powered by NVIDIA Tesla GPUs, and the number three system, Jaguar, is about to be upgraded to use GPUs. We've seen tremendous amounts of uptake in just a very short period of time. And because of this fundamental shift that has taken place in terms of power, I think we're going to see continued uptake over the next several years.
Okay. So Steve, is there anything else that you'd like to add for the readers of the Exascale Report that's related to Titan that's just not being covered in the press today, or anything that you would like to clarify for the record that you've seen that you're not real happy with?
I don't think I've seen anything that I'm not happy with. We're just excited to see Oak Ridge embracing this technology. We are excited to see what the world is going to do with this technology. It's very gratifying to have customers that are doing the kinds of work that Oak Ridge and others are doing with high-performance computing.
We've been talking with Steve Scott, CTO for the Tesla Business Unit at NVIDIA. For the Exascale Report, I'm Mike Bernhardt.